This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And good morning. Welcome to The Gardening Show. Another sunny day in Bradford, Mr. Master Gardener. I don't know how many weekends in a row are they saying is that rain?
16 or 18.
16 or 18 weekends in a row.
Yeah, something like that.
We've seen rain. Oh, good.
Yeah. That'll cheer you up.
Yeah, but hey, listen, it's not snow.
Yeah.
What's going on today? We are going to be on Facebook Live in just a couple seconds here once I sign into it. But
okay.
We brought some show and tell, so yep. We'll have that later on Facebook.com/B. What is it? Facebook.com/WESB1075. That's what it is. Just okay. Do a search. You'll find it.
Yeah.
All right. What's up?
But this rain, you know, good point. And I've heard it, this old saying before. If you can garden in Bradford, you can garden anywhere. So if you are a gardener in Bradford or trying to be, take pride in that because it is tough here most of the time. And So when you do succeed, you know, be proud of yourself because it's quite an accomplishment.
Definitely. So I'm setting up the camera right now. It looks
okay.
Like we have some tall plants here today. That's cool.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just a little tease. What will we be talking about when we put these up, when we start talking about
Perennials.
We'll talk perennials yep. today. All right.
Yep. Here's a trick that I learned when I went to a rose seminar many, many years ago, and I've had to use it in years past, and I'm definitely using it this year. Because it has been so wet and cool, plants aren't getting the oxygen they need. Their root system isn't. And you'll hear me say it many, many times that plants need air just as much as they need water, and that means their roots gotta get air. So hydrogen peroxide is liquid oxygen. And so what I learned at that rose conference was spraying the leaves with the hydrogen peroxide gives them quite a boost. And the test showed that those leaves were hardier and bigger than leaves that were not sprayed. But watering in oxygen, or watering in the hydrogen peroxide also adds oxygen to the soil. And, of course, that makes the roots healthier and the whole plant healthier. Now, there's other benefits, too. But let me tell you on how to apply that hydrogen peroxide.
Is it glug, glug, glug?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Oh.
In your watering can, give it a glug, glug, glug out of the hydrogen peroxide bottle, and that's enough. In a spray bottle, like a quart spray bottle, it's about an ounce. About. Don't worry about measuring it because it's not all that important. But about an ounce in a spray bottle, and then stir it up or shake it, and then spray it right on the leaves. That will help get that oxygen, which we're going to start seeing a lot of fungus growth, probably, on our plants, if we haven't already. And that oxygen is going to help fight against that fungus. It's also going to fight against a lot of insects, too. I don't know exactly why, but it does keep a lot of insect damage away. I think because the leaf is healthier, because it got enough oxygen, which they're probably starved for this time of year. Even at my house, some of the annuals I planted, marigolds and other geraniums, the soil's been wet for weeks and weeks, so the air is probably just about gone in that soil because it's never gotten a chance to dry out. So I'm giving it, I'm watering it with the hydrogen peroxide. Even when the soil is wet, if you feel the need, go ahead and use that hydrogen peroxide. It's going to give that air to that soil, It's going to help it dry out a little bit faster, but most of all, it's going to give that air to the roots and get rid of the methane gases that have been accumulating in that soil. So the plant will be healthier that way.
So this is, you say it could be applied on leaves and to the roots?
Yes.
And
yes,
it's
indeed.
Totally safe. Is there any exceptions? Do any plants not like?
Not to my knowledge. There's
peroxide.
No plant that does not like it. I've tried it on a lot of plants. I haven't found anything that it did damage to.
Okay, great.
Also, with all this rain, some of our pots and planters have been wet for a long time, so we haven't been able to fertilize them with that liquid fertilizer. You put the scoop or two scoops of the blue powder in your watering can, mix it up. A good idea is try to do it a day in advance, because some of that blue powder does take a while to dissolve. So try to do it a day in advance, stir it up, mix it up. Even if your plant is wet, it's probably in need of some fertilizer.
Okay.
So even during a rainy time, I do this all the time, even though a plant's been wet for a week, it still needs a feeding, and that water is going to have a little bit of oxygen in it too. So it's going to be helping that plant in that way. So don't be afraid to fertilize a wet plant. You never want to fertilize a dry plant. That can be a disaster. So if you do have a real dry plant, make sure you get it wet first before you fertilize it. So that's a couple hints for now. One thing I did notice when I was walking up to my compost pile yesterday, already seeing what we call dog puke fungus.
Oh, that's a lovely name.
Yeah, isn't it? It's a kind of a yellow or brown slime that grows right on top. You know, because of what we're going through, cool temperatures, very, very moist, this fungus can take a hold. Usually, we see it on the surface of mulch. It's nothing to be concerned about. As soon as the area dries up, it's going to go away. But if it makes you feel better, just take your leaf rake and scratch the surface of your mulch so more air can get in there. Some of the gases can get out of the soil freely, and that'll help break up that dog puke fungus. I know that's a nasty name, but that's how it's described. Or it can even prevent it from growing. It's not going to do any harm to your plants, but it just is a little unsightly.
But if you don't want it there, scratch up the ground a little bit.
Yeah, scratch up the ground.
Okay.
And that will get rid of it for you. If you're going to be working some wet soil, like most of us have this year, what I've found that really helps in the past is some dry peat moss. You get the peat moss in a little bale. You know, it's always dry. If you put that down first, and then you can rototill in or pitchfork in, either way, that helps keep your soil from clumping up into those mud balls. And it makes the soil workable then, and then plantable. So that's a hint for those of us that are still planting, and most of us should be, that'll help you work that wet soil. One more thing before we get on to the plants. Ants.
Ants? What about uncles?
Nope, just ants.
Okay.
This time of year, we're seeing a lot of ants, there's a lot of different treatments out there to get rid of the ants. They're looking for any location to stay dry, or they're looking for wet wood to feed on. So in order to help get rid of them, use a different type of poison. Ants are known to be able to mutate. If you just use one kind of poison for a long period of time, say the whole year, they can mutate and convert that poison into food. It no longer kills them all off. So it's a really highly recommended that if you use, and I'll mention a couple names, use Combat for a while and then switch over to Taro for a while because they have different ingredients. So that way the ant doesn't have a chance to mutate and get used to that poison and then start using it as a food. Because in all those too is a little bit of sugar that attracts the ant to the poison. So the ants are really attracted to it. So switch off your poisons, and you'll be a lot more successful with the ants. None of that gasoline or kerosene.
Oh, no.
crap, you know. Don't do none of that stuff. There are the regular poisons out there. If you're concerned about pets or kids getting into it, put it in an area where they can't get, or put a cover over it. Believe me, no matter what kind of cover you put over it, a lot of you have seen that if you lift a flat rock, all of a sudden there's an ant mound. They can get underneath. They'll find that material. So protect that poison any way you can. In a cupboard, way in the back, with the door shut.
Under a bowl with a brick on it.
Yeah. A lot of different ways to protect it. So animals, even the animals that we like, you know, the wildlife in our yard, got to protect it from them too.
All right. Very good advice. We're going to take a short break and thank Worth W. Smith for sponsoring the show. And we'll be back with the Master Gardener, Bob Harris, and the Gardening Show right here on B107.5 FM.
Is your lawn looking a little brown and ragged? They have what you need at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. You'll find many options in the line of garden hoses, sprinkler heads, and fertilizers to turn that lawn back to the lush green carpet that we all love. But why stop there when you see the variety of decorative stone pavers, mulch, railroad ties, and landscape timbers? Let their staff at Worth W. Smith help you turn your backyard into the oasis you're looking for. If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
It's the Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris on B107.5 FM. I'm Igor, and we will take your phone calls if you have any questions. We are live, so give us a call, 814-368-9372.
Yeah, so I want to talk about a few of the perennials I brought in, because a lot of us have already planted our annuals. If you haven't, there's still a good supply of annuals out there, so go ahead and get them and plant them now. You'll be very successful. But a few perennials. First one here is kind of the grayish foliage, highly scented foliage, fine leaf. So it's a neat texture and a nice purple flowers. This plant also comes in a white flowering one called Russian Sage. Comes back every year. It's a real good perennial. And it'll get bigger and better every year. Enjoys, this is going to be funny, enjoys kind of a hot, dry area. So, yeah.
Oh, Vegas.
Yeah. So it will, so plant it in an area that's well drained, in other words.
Yeah.
We're not going to find any hot, dry area right now, but a well drained area will survive that very well. So a really good perennial will last for years and years and years.
But how tall will this get?
Depending on the variety. There are dwarf varieties that will only get about 18 inches tall. And there's bigger varieties that can get 2 feet tall.
All right. So read the label to make sure which one you're getting.
Yeah. Yeah. Take advantage of sniff the foliage because it's kind of a neat, different scent.
Are all the different varieties the same kind of purple flower on there, or do they have different colors?
Purple or white.
White.
Yeah, okay. Purple or white. And shows up really nice.
Yeah.
Another one with the fine foliage, this is Yarrow. Has another name to it. Well, it's Achilles, but Yarrow, most of us.
They all have nicknames.
Yeah, they all have nicknames. You're right. I like this. Again, a nice hot, sunny area. Comes in different colors of blooms. This is a yellow one, but you can get it in red, white, and pink. They're very, very pretty. A lot of pollinators will really swarm to it It's a good one to support the pollinators. Even though, and this is kind of funny, supports the pollinators, but the leaves have quite a scent to them. That
it looks like they're almost coated in something kind of fine whitish or something like that.
Yeah, there's hairs on there, trichomes we call it, hairs on there and a waxy layer. But there's a chemical in there too that hikers like to use, where if they see yarrow growing in the wild, because it is a wild plant, they'll pick off a stem and you just kind of whip yourself with it and you'll release those oils on you. Won't harm you, but really the bugs don't like it.
Oh, wow.
But the bees and the butterflies do. That's another one of those real neat perennials. And this one will just multiply year after year, get bigger bunch. Great, great perennial.
And again, is that for another a dry area?
Yeah, you said? Hot, okay. Dry area. Really enjoys the hot, dry area. So those are two big hot, dry area, sun-loving plants.
And what's the second one called? Well, the first one was Russian sage, right?
Yep. And this other one is yarrow.
Yarrow.
Yarrow. All right. Now the third one, just the opposite. This is a shade-loving plant. So in the shade, we usually have damp soil. And this plant will really love that. This is coral bells or heuchera. What most people call it, coral bells, because it will put up a long, thin stem with little bell-shaped flowers that will hang off of it. And they're mostly pink and white flowers. Comes in a lot of different colors, the foliage. I've heard rumors that there is close to 1,000 different varieties now.
Wow.
And this is why it's a great perennial, because of the leaf color. You can still get the green one, but many of them are a bright, bright chartreuse yellow. This one here is a burgundy, and there's a lot of them in between all those colors. So it's very colorful, not really well known for its flower, but it's well known for its foliage color and for a plant that survives in a bit of shade.
Yeah, so it's that this one's all maroon, it looks like. And
yeah.
It almost looks like, from a distance, it almost looks like a mini maple leaf.
Yeah, yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Little maple leaves on it. But yeah, neat.
And, you know, one, even if you have a yard where there's no shade, this can be planted in conjunction with a tall perennial that will cache shade on it. So it will survive there very well, too. So I don't think you have to have a real shady area. You can plant a taller perennial that will shade the plant beside it, and you'll be successful that way.
Yeah, good idea. Okay.
And
it looks great with the contrast.
Yes. It will survive in the hot, dry area as long as you give it a little bit of shade throughout the day.
And keep it watered, right?
Yeah, or, you know, I don't do a lot of watering of my perennials, you know, I'm...
Especially this year.
Yeah.
Outside.
Well, I never have. I've always been a proponent of only the strong survive.
There you go. Let nature take its course.
And most perennials will search out and find that water supply. And that can be a big benefit. The deeper and the wider reaching the roots, the hardier that perennial is. Instead of me babying it, going out there and watering it and fertilizing it all the time, that can cause the roots to stay in one localized area, so that if by any chance I don't baby it, then it'll suffer. So I don't baby my perennials. I plant them, water them in heavy the first time, maybe a couple more times, and then they're on their own, and let them stretch those roots out and find their own food and water source. And I think that makes them a much stronger and less work perennial for me. I have had failures. You know, we all do.
Yeah. But in general, yeah, that's your method. And
yep.
You have the toughest perennials in the neighborhood because of it. You tough, you harden them up, you know.
That's right. Yep. Make them tough.
Tough love.
Yes.
No water for you.
What else we want to talk about?
Well, we have our phone lines open. We have about 10 minutes left in the show.
Oh, 10 minutes?
Yep.
Okay.
814-368-9372. If you have a question for Bob, you can also send an email, garden@wesb.com. And again, we're on Facebook Live, so if you want to pop a question in the comments section, we can get to it that way as well.
I wanted to bring up...
We have a phone call.
Oh, okay.
Hold that thought. So we'll go to here, and we'll see if we can get you on the air. Hi, good morning.
I have a question for Bob.
Yes, sir.
I want to know how you start a winter apple seed.
Winter apple?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I don't know what a winter apple is. Can you explain it?
Well, that's an apple that you enjoy in the winter. January, usually, Bob. Don't you know anything?
No. Can you explain to me what that is?
I found a winter apple tree about 10 years ago, and I had a lot of apples on it, and I was wondering how you would start an apple seed and what's the best medium, and when could you possibly start a winter apple
seed? Okay, it's an apple tree, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Just called a winter apple.
Gotcha. Okay, it's a variety of apple.
That must mature real late.
Yeah, harvested. I'm looking at the old Google machine now. Winter apples are apple varieties that are harvested in the fall and can be stored for a prolonged period, making them available throughout the winter and into the spring.
Okay.
Some popular ones include Fuji, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith, Jonah Gold.
Yep.
And Ludacrisp.
Ah, that one. No. Yeah, that's a very new variety.
Is that like the rapper Ludacris, his brand of apple? There you go.
But
all right.
It's not recommended that you try to start them from seed. All apple trees have a huge mix of genes in them. If you plant 80,000 Macintosh apple seeds, you'll only probably get one Macintosh apple. All the rest will be different varieties, different mixes of that type. The best way to start is from a cutting, and that's going to be a 6-inch long stem. From the tip of the plant, strip most of the leaves off, and maybe use a little rooting hormone. If you don't have rooting hormone, cut up some English ivy or some willow and put that in the water with it. I like to do it in just bottles of water, clear bottles, so I can see when they do develop roots, and stick the stem in there. And put it in a semi-shaded area, not in the sun, and then wait. It probably is going to take about a month for roots to develop, but then you will have a clone of that apple tree.
Neat.
All right. So that's the best way and the only way, to my knowledge, to get a true clone of any apple.
And not with the seed, but with a
not with the seed.
A cutting.
Because apples are what they call
heterozygote.
It's a scientific name. I usually say it, but I can't today. And it's the same thing with us humans. We'll never look exactly like our parent because we have so many different genes in us. And some are dominant, some are recessive, and so on. So the best way to get an apple is to clone it, and by cloning I mean a cutting. Cuttings are fun to do, they're easy to do.
I found that apple tree, it was in mid-February, and it was loaded with apples.
No kidding. Wow.
Yes.
That's unusual. You know, there is a group out there that has been searching for all the lost apple trees, and they have found thousands of them so far. And maybe that's something you want to Google and check out. You may have something that they don't have yet.
Something special?
Yeah, something special.
There you go. You heard it here first.
Well, I'll tell you, them apples, I picked about four of them off.
Yeah.
They were right, we cut and pick them, and they were delicious. It's somewhere between like a Northern Spy and maybe a Red Delicious or something, but it wasn't. Either one of them is kind of in between. Very crisp, but very nice and sweet. I mean, absolutely excellent apples.
Ah, beautiful. Again, that's that can be an important find. So if I was you, I would really try to get some cuttings off of it.
Would it matter when you take the cutting?
Only through the growing season. And
because when the apples come on, it's in mid-February, and they're right. Every apple on that tree was ripe that day, and I was just right in the summertime. Now I could take a clipping off of that apple tree, and
yes, highly recommended around now. You know, right up to before the frost hits is a recommended time to do the cuttings.
Okay, well, when could I plant that then?
after it roots, and like I say, if you did the cutting now, you'll have roots before fall. Then you can plant it in a nice pot, sink it right in the ground, pot and all, and let it grow there on there for a good year.
Okay.
But then you got to dig up the pot, though, eventually, right?
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of work, Bob.
Well, it is, but it can be well worth it. It can be very rewarding, or it could be a pretty neat thing. Maybe it's an apple that they don't have on record right now.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Like I say, where I found it, it's on a state game land, and I found it when me and my cousin were hunting rabbits and pheasants and stuff. And I found that apple tree. I looked at it. I come out about probably 100 yards above. I looked down and I went, who the heck put Christmas bulbs on an apple tree?
Oh, boy.
Wow.
That's pretty neat.
And I started walking down towards it and realized, oh, my God, them are apples. And I was like, oh, that's an apple. I've heard about winter apples, but I never, ever seen one.
Yeah, I never have either.
Wow, that's really neat. You have to let us know how it goes if you are successful.
Yeah, one more hint. Up in Geneva, New York. There's a huge scientific operation there run by the government that has a supply of over 2,000 varieties of apples. It's hard to get in to visit. You have to call way ahead and make an appointment. But maybe if you contacted them, they could help you out even further.
Right.
Sounds like a plan. All right, sir. Hey, thanks a lot for the call.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
All right. Take care now. You got to let us know how that turns out.
Yeah. That's right. Interesting.
Now we got 2 minutes left.
Just like there's the big seed banks way up in around the Arctic where they've got seeds from all the plants on Earth, just in case someday we may need them again, or the genes that are within them. There is that apple place up in Geneva, New York, that again says they have over 2,000 varieties. And the reason for that is just in case a disease or weather or something could affect all the apples on Earth, they will.
You can bring them back.
Yep, they can bring it back for us because the apple is pretty doggone important and has been for thousands of years.
All right. And with that, we're out of time. So thank you very much for the phone call. And we'll talk again next week with more tips from the Master Gardener, Bob Harris.
Thanks.
And the Gardening Show. Thanks to Worth W. Smith for sponsoring the show. And we'll talk again next week right here on B107.5 FM.